I would like to express my appreciation for the invitation to speak at the Evangelical Reform Churches of Singapore Annual Reformation Conference. We pray for God's blessing as we consider the theme that you've chosen this year, Are You for Real? Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many questions in life concerning which ignorance and indifference are neither blameworthy or fatal. There are many questions, the answers to which you may say, I don't know and I don't care. You may be content to be ignorant and willingly indifferent as to the answer, and nothing horrible will ever happen to you. However, there are some questions concerning which ignorance and indifference will make you guilty and which is eternally fatal. There are some questions and the answers to these questions concerning which you do not have the luxury or the right before God to say, I don't know. I don't care. Such a question is the one that is bringing us together at our conference this year and tonight. The question, are you for real? Do you possess the marks of God's children? Do I have them? How do I know that I'm not a fake? How do I know that Jesus Christ is in me? How do I know that when I die and must appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that I will hear those most glorious words, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth, and that I will not hear those dreadful words, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. How do I know that I will hear the word of blessing and not curse? Are you for real? Do you have the marks of God's children? In the words of the Apostle John in 1 John 4, do you assure your heart before God? These, of course, are questions that no hypocrite cares to face for any length of time. He does not want himself opened to himself. He does not want a soul-searching ministry. He does not want to belong to a church which will examine the thoughts of his heart in the light of God's Word. He spends his entire life silencing his conscience. He wants a religion that will make him feel good, but not look too close into his heart. Do you ask the question, am I for real? Am I truly a child of God? If you don't, then you ought to be asking the question, what materialism has clogged the arteries of my heart? What attraction in this vain world is more important to me than Jesus Christ? You see, the question will not go away. For only one who has received the marks of the children of God will enter into the kingdom of heaven in the end. In that day, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, will not allow one to pass by him who is in sheep's clothing but has a wolf's heart. No one who has been comforted with what is so popular in the church world, easy believism, A, B, C, D, accept Christ, believe, confess, and all the easy schemes. No one will go into the kingdom of God who trusts in carnal security, and not even will they go into the kingdom of God, even though the church may have said concerning them, you are forgiven. And yet they secretly go on in an impenitent life, pulling the wool over the eyes of the elders. For the word of God is very clear. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 21, 27. Now as we press these questions in the light of God's word tonight to our hearts, we must understand that these questions are not placing us upon the slippery slope of a feeling-based faith that is also so popular today. We are not here to say, I feel, therefore I believe. But we are here to understand the biblical, the reformed, and the necessary need for every child of God to confirm his own faith in his heart, the experience of a saved child of God, the reality of the truth of that experience. And the scriptures are given for this very purpose. We must look to the scriptures to discover the marks. And while looking into the scriptures, the Holy Spirit confirms in the heart of every child of God these marks. For Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore the child of God is willing and desirous that God would search him out, that God would look into every nook and cranny of his heart. Psalm 26, verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Every word there is important. The word examine means to melt. Lord, melt down my heart as a metal would be melted down by the heat in order to determine exactly the alloy and to examine exactly what it is made of. Lord, melt it down in my heart and let me know exactly what thou hast made of me in Christ. Prove me, says the psalmist. And that word says means to mount up on high, to be on a tower in order to see. Lord, from thy sovereign hill, with thy almighty eye, look into my heart and thoughts and confirm in me that I am truly one of thine. The Reformation that we are celebrating as children of the Reformation of the 16th century, this Reformation restored to the church the marks of God's children. The 16th century Reformation, perhaps you know primarily as a Reformation of the marks of the church, so that once again by God's grace through Reformation, the church of Jesus Christ began to look like the bride of Christ. But not only was the Reformation the restoration of the marks of the church, but it was the restoration of the marks of God's children. For Roman Catholicism had not only placed the garments of a whore on the church, but it also dressed the children of the church in the garments of a hypocrite. For the souls of God's people were deluded under false comforts that the Virgin Mary or the work of saints could avail for them, and that the essence of a Christian faith was to be able to clutch a rosary and be able to repeat Hail Marys. Rome said that the mark of a Christian is works. Well, good, that is correct. James assures us that faith brings forth works. But what works? What good works? Were they good works? No, they were silly works. They were pilgrimages off to some distant land, or they were going to see a relic. For what had happened throughout the centuries was that Phariseeism had been installed among the people of God. The Reformation reinstated from Scripture the marks of God's true children. The Reformation did not invent these marks, but restored these marks, for these marks had always been there. The Belgic Confession, one of the Reformed creeds, one of the creeds that came right out of the Reformation of the 16th century. In Article 29 of the Belgic Confession, well known for listing from Scripture the marks of the true church, which is the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the two sacraments, and the exercise of Christian discipline. But what is forgotten sometimes is that in that article, immediately the church goes on to confess from Scripture the marks of the believer. I read, with respect to those who are members of the church, they may be known by the marks of Christians, namely, by faith. And when they have received Jesus Christ, the only Savior, they avoid sin, follow after righteousness, love the true God and their neighbor, neither turn aside to the right hand or left, crucify the flesh with the works thereof. But this is not to be understood as if there did not remain in them great infirmities. But they fight against them through the Spirit all the days of their life, continually taking their refuge in the blood, death, passion, and obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom they have remission of sins through faith in Him. The Reformation restored the marks of God's children because the Reformation was, above all things, pastoral in its emphasis. The Reformers were not philosophers. The Reformers were not mystic theologians. But the Reformers were the presence of God restoring in His church the gift of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 tells us that the ascended Lord has given to His church those who are pastors. And why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come in the unity of the faith in Christ Jesus, so that John Calvin and Martin Luther, Bullinger and Knox, Bucer, and all the others were pastors who went among the sheep of God, so long oppressed by false shepherds. And the prophecy of Jeremiah and Ezekiel arose once again, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. From the Word of God, these pastors again taught the people of God the marks of God's children. That's the Reformation, not simply a reformation of the church, not only tearing down the false garb around the church, but the establishment of the marks of God's children, so to speak. Through the reformation of the church, the Reformers opened again the windows of the church in order that the light of God would shine. And as the light of God shone in the church, the people of God were changed again into the beauty of holiness. Well, now then, what are the marks of God's true children? I'm going to answer that in the remaining moments of the speech tonight in light of the Reformation. That is, look at those marks that especially were restored and emphasized during the 16th century Reformation. Let me explain. When we talk about the marks of a child of God, what a child of God will look like, we could go into the whole plethora of the spiritual graces that are to be seen in our life, of humility and meekness and love and holiness and patience, as all of these things, says the Scripture, are to adorn our life. But we're not going to do that tonight. What we are going to do is look into that inward work of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit work in every saved child of God? What is the Christian experience as, again, taught by the Reformation? I'm going to give three marks that the Reformation restored once again, or taught, would be the true marks by which a child of God is known, the true Christian experience. Now, before I mention those three marks, remember that these marks are all of God, for the Reformation and the Scriptures loudly and beautifully declare the glory of God, that God is God. All of these marks, then, are of His power, as God made man from the dust in the beginning and breathed into him the breath of life, so God alone can make a child of God and breathe into him these marks. It is the Lord God, we read in Exodus 11, verse 6, that puts a difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite, between the child of the world and one redeemed from it. Remember also, as we go through these marks, that these marks are now imperfect, or better, that they are in us as we still have our sinful flesh, and thus these marks will never be in us to the degree that they must be, or the power that we desire them to be. As you listen to these three marks that I am about to mention to you from the Scriptures as emphasized in the Reformation, as you listen, then if you are for real, if you are a true child of God, if you are not sitting here proud and indifferent, then you will respond each time saying, yes, but it seems so small in me. These feelings, these experiences are so faint in me, I sometimes wonder if they are there. And that also means that there's really one great mark of the child of God. And that is that the child of God, so long as on this earth, will mourn the fact that these marks are so dim. And we will yearn that they be more and more in us. But yet, these marks are there, and those marks are there important for our own assurance, but also these marks must be there for our witness before the world. So what are these marks? From the Reformation and from the Scriptures, the marks of God's children are, first of all, an exclusive trust in Christ for righteousness. An exclusive trust in Christ for righteousness. What is the mark of one who shall come into eternal life? What is the most basic and non-negotiable mark? We read of it in Romans 5:17. They are they which have received the gift of righteousness. They shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Those who trust by grace, those who completely and exclusively depend upon Christ for acceptance with God, for righteousness, for the favor and for the smiling face of God, including then the forsaking and the rejecting from the heart of all sinful self-sufficiency and work righteousness as being the ground of eternal life. We read in the Scriptures, Revelation 7:13, where John asks, or the angel asks John, who are these who are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? Who are they who are in heaven? And John said, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the ones who have sought righteousness and found righteousness only in the work of Christ on the cross. We read in Psalm 71:16, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. A real Christian is convinced of the excellency and sufficiency of the righteousness of Christ, of Christ's work on the cross. Isaiah 45:24, surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. That is, the mark of a child of God will surely be this, that I cannot obtain heaven on my own, only in the work of Christ. That was the Reformation.